Welcome to the Scott and Paul's Rambling Podcast.
Hello.
It's going without you, as always, my good friend and co-host Paul Brown.
Hello.
And we're here, like, for the first time of 2024, for a bit of Frasier.
First time, huh?
Yeah, I mean, one of our last episodes was 2023.
It took us a month or so.
Yeah, one of our last episodes of 2023 was a Frasier, and that's because there was a Christmas one in there. We wanted to get the first episode we're going to cover here in there, because that was a New Year's one, but I thought we didn't have the time, but it's fine to kick off our first new episode of Frasier we cover with a New Year's episode.
We had to go deal with Scott's intervention.
And you need an intervention after the other show we recorded afterwards with all the alcohol and the bad WCW.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah.
I don't want to talk too much about it. One, because I know Paul doesn't want me to mention it. And two, I know maybe this is a show that some people tune into who don't also watch wrestling. You're like, no, I don't want you to talk about wrestling. Talk about Frasier. Get to the fireworks factory. Stop using that joke about the fireworks factory. God, I say never.
Never.
Never. Like Gus Graham was singing in The Simpsons. What, never? No, never. Hardly ever. There's a lot to do with Gus Graham and singing as we get to the next couple episodes.
Yeah.
But Paul, how are you this fine day?
I'm just fine. My team won today.
Good for you. I was even.
And Brian's team drew.
I don't know how far long after today we will be using this, but I didn't even know there was a game on. Mind you know how much I'm not interested in football.
I am interested in football. Oh. My team won today.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
My team won 3-0 today. Brian's team drew 1-1. That makes it even better for me. That's like a little cherry on top of the cake of the win. And also, this previous week, and I know we're not really talking of wrestling as such, but I enjoyed the Royal Rumble.
As did I.
It was very good. I was so stoked to see both Naomi back at school and to see Jordynne Grace from TNA, the Knockouts World Champ, in the Rumble, kicking ass. And my dad being the only woman in the Rumble who was eliminated with a finishing move.
Yes, as you mentioned on our show, which you also keep up with in our back alley of the show that we did. If you're interested in hearing us talk about the Rumble, we have an episode all about that.
We do. But I must emphasise that point, though, because I think I really do think there is that possible working relationship. I'd love to see Jordynne Grace, especially against other people, say, like, and the potential rumours that have come up have been Bianca and Natalya. I think Natalya's more likely. But still, that kind of talk is cool.
Yeah.
You know? So I mean, I've had a good week with that, and you know, with the wrestling and what with my team winning today, so it's been all funky.
I mean, the one thing about Natalya is that if it's a match like Jordynne comes over for a match, Natalya goes over there, the one thing you can be confident in is that if they've chosen Natalya, something like, Jordynne's probably going to win now, isn't she?
Because, you know, Natalya needs something today. Yeah.
Loaning somebody who would not mind them beating Natalya.
I mean, she can't even be a Lego piece every time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With her big square head.
I know this is will come out quite a bit after the time. I know you probably haven't watched it yet, but it'll be interesting to get your thoughts once you've seen SmackDown, because I do like running theme across Raw and SmackDown this past week post Rumble with all the free agents and NXT people. You've got all this in Pierce saying, like, sign with me, you know, sign with me.
Yeah.
And
I haven't seen SmackDown,
but I'm saying it'll be interesting when you do. But like, I like that idea, you know, with, you know, it's the idea of using authority figures for, you know, a decent purpose, at least, rather than just, you know, being there and saying, oh, you will fight so-and-so. Like, the idea, and hopefully stuff like this, when they do the next draft.
Who's the bald one on Raw?
Adam Pearce.
Yeah, don't be Adam Pearce. Be Nick Aldis.
Yeah.
Because Nick Aldis is cool.
And, like, the whole thing of them trying to make sure, oh, you should sign with SmackDown, no, you should sign Raw. Oh, when this guy, then they keep this going, it'll actually make the draft what they want it to be when it comes around, like, oh, Raw and SmackDown, the brand to brand warfare, like, yeah, but it's just moving from one show that's red to a show that's blue.
But that's a big deal.
But hopefully it'll be made a bigger deal with these two involved. But, well, something that we should be talking about, and obviously we saved it for a show like this, is that you have finally gotten around to finishing the new season of Frasier, the new rebooted Frasier.
I have. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. My favourite character, and I'm sure it's the same with a vast majority of the fans of the new Frasier, which we'll be getting a second season, I'm sure of it.
I'm sure they've said something, always hinted at something.
Yeah, but my favourite character, without any question, other than Frasier, is Nicholas Lyndhurst.
Alan Cornwell, or
Alan
Corny.
Cornwell.
Or Corny, is he something referred to as?
Corny.
I don't know, who would have... I remember just, like, the bewilderment when they announced me, like, Nicholas Lyndhurst will co-star with Phil Dion. I'm like, what, Rodney Fail, who fills an artist?
But he's so good. He's so bloody good.
And you know there'll be a large amount of American fans of Frasier who probably never heard, seen Only Fools or know who, like... And then he comes in and he's fucking stealing the show and having all the best lines and pretty much being in Niall's role without, I mean, without them trying to. I just comes in... And, you know, because he's worked in comedy, he's just got that natural timing.
Yeah. I've got to be honest, my least favourite character overall has been Frederick.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I don't dislike him.
Yeah.
I don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
As much, he's a bit of a butthole. You know?
I get you.
But I like his former roommate, though. She's really cool. I like her. She's fun. And I like all of his friends.
Yeah.
You know? Like, just Steve.
Yeah.
And Moose, he's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I like all of his work friends, you know? Well, it's weird that I like all of his friends more than him.
Yeah.
And I like David.
Because
he's kind of... He's all right. He's David.
Yeah, take your lead.
Don't you remember the episode when we thought he was an orphan and we bought him a bike? Wasn't that fun?
I could take your lead.
What's your favourite colour, kid? Pretty little bastard.
I could take or leave, David. I mean, the first three episodes, when I watched the last three episodes, I took away. I let the episodes build up, and then when I stayed over my brother's while he was in New York, I used his fire stick, and I binge watched the remaining episodes, up to episode 7, and then later on I got to the rest. But so I watched it in kind of installments, tried to watch multiple episodes in one go.
Yeah.
But when I watched just the first three episodes, I tell you, I came away from that third episode, particularly, I'm going like, I can't fucking stand David. Because I don't know what it was, just none of his things, none of what he's like, didn't seem to land for me. Like, oh, isn't he all quirky? He's got these eccentricities. He's just slight now, all his quirks and things like that. And eccentricities, like, it felt like...
You like sitting there going, aye, but he's no Niles.
Aye, but you're no him.
You're no your dad.
You're no him. You'll never be him. I mean, honestly, I think you and I, maybe along with a lot of people, had a lot of trepidation when the idea of a new Frasier was being talked about for the longest time.
It was very like, what the fuck, man? Don't ruin the legacy, you know?
Yeah, but it has quite a few people involved in it. Like, I think James Burrows, who was involved in Cheers and creating Frasier, and he was there, and Kelsey Grammer being involved is a big thing. And
well, you can't have Frasier without Kelsey Grammer.
Well, yeah, but him being, well, I'm sure he'll have a certain amount of
free writing.
Yeah, and saying like how he wants the character done. I think a lot of people even said involved in, like, oh, and so how long can this new version of Frasier go? And I think it's like, well, as long as Kelsey wants to do it.
Yeah.
But so I really enjoyed it, and like I was happy how much I enjoyed the first episode of it, and then I kind of like the second episode, the kind of back and forth between him and Freddy over the coffee table. If you have a point, why don't you just make it? Okay, he slides the puck along.
That was funny.
And it very much is like, I think they do showcase, especially in the first couple of episodes, like the dynamic between the two is very much like Frasier and Martin, just a little different, and the roles kind of reversed everything. Like, even the fact that the first episode is called The Good Father, you know, as in reference to The Good Son, and it's very emotional, the ending, when they're talking about Martin, who, and the line of the story is, only just recently passed away, although John Mahoney's actually been dead since 2018.
The police send up Bulldogs
Ave Maria. we got to see BB Newworth back as
Camilla. I know, right?
She was such a
fucking she was such a hoppy in that one.
Oh, but it was,
and then they were about to get it on David's bed.
Freddy's
bed.
And they're Alan wearing that suit to remind her who they are, and they're just taking the piss, like, now he's a simple country lawyer who, even though he doesn't have some nice fancy city lawyer, he loves the good people of this parish. No, he's that your villain who took on James Bond at the Monte Carlo Casino. Like, don't let them tease you. I know who you are. Now go ahead and welcome us to Jurassic Park.
And that was cruel. He gets so huffy out. You're the man who kept ordering the dirty martinis.
I knew you'd remember me.
You stuck us with a huge barbell. And then after that, you went out and said you would get your wallet from your car, and you just left.
All right, And I'm sorry, let me make this right. I was going to fall out of my car. So it was a bit where like Frasier said an argument with Frasier, I think it's in the second episode, and he goes like, see, this is why I don't have children. You have four of them. Oh, yes. yeah, but Alan really is the best in it. If I said it with the episodes, like not to get too much time on it, because I'm sure we'll cover these episodes at a later date.
When David emptied out his stash.
Like, how did you... Like, episode 9, I think I might say might be maybe one of my least favourite episodes.
Which one's that again?
That is the second last episode. But like, the one with... Well, it does have that stuff with Alan and David in it as well. The other storyline with Frasier and Freddy... Mid argument about Frasier not wanting Freddy to help out as much or whatever the argument was.
I did like that segment with the plumber guy.
Yeah. I just thought, like, most of the arguing they were doing, like, these are arguments you've had for the first few episodes. Why are you retreading old ground already?
And it's still flaring up. We're kind of like,
yeah.
You know, there's reasons.
I know, I just really want to. Also, how much Frasier overdoes it when he's like, When Freddy's worried about that, what that lassie will think about him, but he's like, oh no, I take care of him. I'm like, Freddy, where am I? I have to take this. And he picks up a banana from his, like, I cannot keep this up forever. Freddy, where are you going? It's almost time for my bath. And then you got the Christmas episode that ends the season.
That was kind of nice. Yeah, episode.
Quite a heartwarming when you get Roy's coming back and everything.
I know, right?
Which was nice. I mean, I think I'd heard that she was coming back, but I didn't know how. And I think there were talks of Bebe Neuro coming back, but they didn't tell us how either.
But, well, they just did.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looked awesome.
I don't know if we'll get any of Niles or Daphne, but if there's anybody else who could pop up from the show, I'd love to see, as we mentioned, Bulldog. Yeah, let Bulldog pop up.
I'd love to see Bebe show up.
Oh, Jesus.
That'd be something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is a former television star.
Yeah.
He could pop up again in the new season to coax him back in here.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know? Like, that could be a very thing. He could eventually get that professorship he wants, and then she'll turn up and be like,
A traitor, you're a star. Give you everything you want. Make a star. I am a star maker. How would I know she would do something like this? She's baby. I may watch some of the BB episodes when I go home later, and I said, think about it.
You know one of my favourite BB episodes is?
What?
You know the one where in season 5 where Frasier's wanted to get an ethical agent and he gets that fucking mousketeer?
Aye.
Aye, that one.
Aye.
You can't get wrong with a Mormon.
Or like, Frasier, as he falls in the caveat, and that gives Niles reading to go back to Manchester, he just leaps back up and goes, taxi! Because like Niles to try to attempt Niles in that episode, and he basically said like, well, as long as Frasier sticks by his ethics and doesn't sign me, maybe he won't go back to her. As soon as he sees Bebe try to chase Frasier with a contract, and Niles, he just leaps up and sprints out there going, taxi. I don't care, Niles gotta have it. I think it's a similar episode, but
oh no, I like that one with the Mormon episode, like,
yeah,
Bebe, there isn't any chance. Oh, darling. There's always a chance.
That's good enough for me. Remember, like, the guy, I think, with the bear. What do they call the guy who.
Barracuda.
Who. I'm trying to think. I thought it was that other guy from the cruise ship, but now I'm thinking the guy who's renegotiating everyone's contracts and everything. He goes, and, you know.
Oh, you mean the. It wasn't the Barracuda, because the Barracuda was the guy in the cruise ship.
Aye. Something like that. Some sort of sea creature.
Some kind of beastie.
Bebe helped Roz do a deal on that. She tried to convince him, like, you can't go in with that, like, Boy Scout you got as an agent. And, like, Gil, how did you go? You'd never seen such terror. The cold eyes. They've hacked the budget of my show. Yeah, I really feel like everybody going, more and more people leaving Frasier's party to go over with, for a roommate to Eve to watch.
Lehammer.
The Hammer, yeah.
That was his name, Lehammer.
Yeah, they go to watch it, right, and they love Miss watching, like, this will never work. He's from the small town, she's from the big city, they're from completely different worlds. How will this ever work? Every so often, buddy, Frasier's boss there, they see he's pervin at Freddy just because he's a fireman.
Mm.
And then I do like what I thought was quite emotional in the episode where they talk about the thought Freddy was an orphan, where like Frasier gets to the root of the matter about why he doesn't like Freddy being a fireman. Like, does that worry about him too much? Just the same way he worried about his dad when he was younger, being a cop and everything. It was quite a sweet moment, I thought. I love it. It was about Eve always bringing up her dead boyfriend, but sometimes do it to win arguments. Like, you know, when she cuts Alan off at the bar, it's like, you have made the biggest mistake of your life. The biggest mistake of my life, and that's saying I love you to my boyfriend before he died. Mm. You have made the second biggest mistake of your life. I think we can say I'm quite happy that you and I can stand here and talk about this new season of Frasier with such reverence, you know.
Yeah, people should bloody love it.
They should.
And if we don't, then
I do have a scene that has some sort of, you're quite like, I didn't read it, and maybe I should have been be aware of annoyed myself even further, but some article that said, oh, Rose's appearance is the one saving grace from this new season of Frasier or whatever, like, fuck off.
Fuck you, cunts.
I know.
There's some article in a magazine or an online thing.
It's an online thing, yeah.
Well, that online thing can suck my ass, quite frankly.
Okay.
Fucking assholes. No.
Yeah.
I won't bloody have it.
Yeah.
I'll throw a little stoned huff about it.
I can see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see the energy?
Very professionally stoned huff.
Yeah.
Professional, but stoned at the same time.
Huh?
Oh.
I know, the humour is so great.
Have you tried to mix to pair a sea bass with an aggressive Zinfandel?
I should be putting the pudding in with the chips.
Oh dear, I've turned to charge my sea bass. So something is affecting my motor skills.
Oh, knock it off, you jackass. You're as sober as I am.
Have you ordered a giant pizza the same way that Martin did?
I wish. I don't have any money.
Did you? No, I mean, not now. I mean, when you were stoned at time.
No.
Have you ever come up with an idea as elegant and as groundbreaking as fridge pants?
I did, but it was still wonderful.
I
forgot what it was. It was one of those wonderful high things, and then you remember it at the time, and then once the magical power of the plant has gone, you forget the magical idea.
Yeah, what do you think this means? Dog army.
but army of puppies.
Shall we get into the episodes that we are talking about then?
Yeah, fuck it, why not? Yeah, cool. That'll be fun.
We're going into Season 7, Episode 12, Road Warrior. Directed by Kelsey Grammer, I should say. I think he directed at least one or two episodes of the newer series of Frasier as well, so it's to see Kelsey back in the directing, because I don't know if he's really directed much outside of episodes of Frasier.
Yeah.
But also, this is the first episode of the new millennium because it aired on January 6, 2000 was its original air date.
Oh.
Also, it's very similar to that episode in terms of structure. That episode, remember, where Eddie was down and they couldn't figure out why and they got the dog psychiatrist in.
Yeah.
And Frasier is telling the story on the show and it couldn't spell it. This is the version of structure, you know, the idea of Frasier, the episode being a story that Frasier is recounting to somebody because it starts in the roast and then does a, you know, the flashbacky kind of thing.
Mm.
The flashbacky kind of thing, you know, as they say in the reviewing world.
Yeah.
But it opens and Catherine reports that Frasier sent with having his coffee and then Roz enters goes, she's like, hey Frasier, oh Roz, Happy New Year, as the hell he goes, or should I say, Happy New Millennium.
Oh Bark, I'm so sick of talking about it.
Oh no, Roz, let's not condemn the new millennium because you're woken up a bit with a hangover. I've ruined church for you.
Decaf latte, please. I just hate how this arbitrary point in the calendar has become so significant. And as far as my hangover went, it was worth it. I parted my ass off like a brain-damaged test monkey.
I see. Well, allow me to congratulate you on your first science-related metaphor.
Thank you. And what did you do? Get all freaky and finish your list of the century's greatest thinkers?
No, my new year was plenty exciting enough. Thank you very much. Although, not exactly the way I'd planned. As it trails off, flashback to the 30th of December, 1999, in Frasier's apartment, as Niles hangs with open circles. Cancel the millennium. Je Henri has burned down.
Burned down?
Yes. Apparently Henri was caramelizing a huge Creme brulee, 30-foot paper mache, the space needle. They're already at the worst. No, I'll start again.
Sorry. Should I?
No, yes. I'll start again, please. Yes, apparently Henri was creating a used creme brulee in the shape of the Puget Sound when a sugar supply ignited 30-foot paper mache of the space needle. They're already calling it the worst centerpiece disaster in history of Seattle.
You were about to say spaceship disaster.
It was, yeah.
But Henri built his reputation with a caramelizing torch. My God, the irony of him burning down his own restaurant. Was it? It's worthy of O. Henri.
No.
It's worthy of O. Henri.
O. Henri?
Please, Niles, too soon to joke.
love Niles doing the order and facial looking like, Niles, it's too soon.
What exactly are we going to do tomorrow night? Every restaurant town where it's going to has been booked for months.
Well, you know, you guys can always join me and the boys in McGinnis. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to dye the beer green.
Why would you do that on New Year's Eve?
Well, McGinnis is going for a bypass next month. He's afraid he might not make it out for St. Patty's Day.
This is a disaster.
No, they'll just pop in another pig valve. You know, the only reason he needs it is because he needs so much bacon, so the very thing that's killing him was keeping him alive. There's your O. Henri story.
Well, maybe we can just stay in tomorrow night.
On the most significant New Year's Eve of our lifetime, I think not.
I should have just gone with Mel. Her mother are taking a hot air balloon to the wine country.
I do love that Fraser and Marge is looking at him like...
Well, not in the balloon, but no, but I could have followed along with him in the recovery vehicle.
I just do love the idea of them like, you in a balloon, Niles, really. Yeah, you could have fallen in the recovery vehicle. Like, in the future, like, wait a minute. Speaking of wine, wasn't the wine club having some sort of party?
Yes, Ken Lauerbrock's place in Sun Valley. A huge event.
Of course, Old Lang Wine. Niles, call us if we're still invited.
All right, I'm on it.
Niles runs into the kitchen and Daphne comes in and goes, bloody hell. 5 days after Christmas, and I'm still getting these bloody cards. They do this on purpose, you know. It's always someone you forget, and it's too late to send one back, and then they sneer at you for the rest of the year. Peace and goodwill, my ass. You just lost yourself a customer, Dr. Narns Gupta DDS.
Losing a set of English teeth. You'll feel that.
She just kills them. As Fraser and Martin girl, huh? They're like, oh, these are for you. He sends an envelope from the DMV.
Oh, I know what this is. Custom plates I ordered from my Winnebago. Yay, well, $50, but I think it says it all.
They both try, Daphne and Fraser struggle to be like, Redwer.
Oh, for God's sake, Road Warrior.
Oh, of course. For a retired man with a cane and with a Winnebago, I don't know why my mind didn't go straight to it.
Then Niles re-enters
I should say, I do love getting a bit of continuity here. From earlier in the season, from the Tassara's Born episode, where Fraser and Niles had to buy Marty the Winnebago, and now here they're going to have to ride in the Winnebago in a bit.
But Niles comes back into the kitchen, and he's like, huzzah! Hello, Daphne. Ken said he'd love to have us come. And to Martin, he's like, the more, the merrier.
Oh, no, that's brilliant, Dad. Please, won't you join us? You know what they say? You know what? I'll stay away. Call it traveling.
Not to ruin your parade, but you may have a tough time getting flights this day. Donnie and I had a devil of a time getting on flights to San Francisco.
Oh, Daphne. They always say a few choice seats for Seattle's travel elite. And he clicks on the phone. Immediately smash cuts to all three of them on the way through. Martin looking all happy about the wheel. Frasier with Eddie's laughing Niles behind him all with fucking scales on the wheel. Looking absolutely miserable. But, I should mention, like, Daphne's seen her going with friends. So every time she mentions San Francisco, it's because she's usually got a gay uncle down there or whatever.
Mm.
I do love that, even though we meet our family quite a bit in the next few seasons, that's the one member of our family we never meet. We meet all of our brothers briefly, and then we do meet Simon more so, and our mother, and briefly our father. But, like, we never meet her gay uncle from San Francisco.
Or our favourite brother, Billy.
Yeah. The belly dance, or tap dancer, or whatever he was.
Belly dancer.
Yes, whatever.
But no, we cut to that, and then there's a motorist honking at them, and he's saying, pick a lane, Road Warrior.
See? You got it. And he's like, ah.
Martin's like,
it feeds it, and it goes, are we there? Yeah, now it's Fraser that's driving. Martin's driving, and it cuts later than Fraser driving.
Yeah, and Martin's like, being on a road like this is like over three dusty hobos sharing a box car to parts unknown.
Yes, well, if you don't take this next turn, we'll end up in California.
Gee, Niles, you seem a little cranky.
Well, perhaps that's because I was roosted out of a warm bed with the crocodile and heard onto a Winnebago. So whenever he reads me like that, I think of him as a stick and say, I'm on a Winnebago. That's the only stick with eyeballs.
Better safe than sorry, Niles. You know, it's 650 miles to Sun Valley and Appalachian Mountains.
By the way, he leans in a feature. By the way, how are we going to explain to the wine club us arriving in Winnebago?
Just chalk it off to whimsy, Niles. We'll call it our van ordinaire.
Oh, no, actually, Fraser is driving. I forgot, yeah, because he drives for most of this. But
you know, besides, I'm actually enjoying this little trip to the heartland. I feel a bit out of touch with the common man. It's nice to reconnect.
Yes, well, while you're reconnecting, why don't you let me drive? And Martin and Fraser look at each other like, oh, no.
I would, Niles. It's just that I need you to navigate.
And Martin, like he's a fucking child, like, yeah, you're the most important part of our crew, good buddy.
The man with the map.
Stop patronizing me. I want to drive.
Oh, you're not good with big cars, Niles. Remember when I tried to teach you to drive my LeSabre? You get panicking and pull on the emergency brake.
Well, it's a good thing I did. Those mailboxes weren't even slowing me down.
And Martin notices something. And he's like, oh, did you see that sign? Little Red Cabin. You remember those diners? Home of the log roller. Flank steak wrapped around a combination of eggs, cheese, and onions. You kids used to love eating there. You'd scream out at me, Dad, pull over. Dad, pull over.
Actually, Dad, that was after we ate them. If we could just pause.
Keep going.
Sometime later on, Fraser's driving and listening to music on the stairs, Niles, and Eric's from the back air looking very tired, like, oh, Niles, I thought you were sleeping.
I was trying to, but Dad wanted to watch the VCR.
He's like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
He's like, oh, good Lord, not Robin and the Seven Hoots again. Worse.
Yeah, baby, you know, that was a shagadelic. Look.
You know, Dad, if you're quite done, I think I'll try to take a nap.
Oh, behave. You know, I don't agree what Vader says here, because even this came out in 2000, this is maybe the end of the new millennium. Oh, the Austin Powers craze is over. The first one came out in 97, the sequel came out in 99, so...
The third one didn't come out in 03?
02.
02, was it?
Yeah, because, well, I think they're all set in around the time that they're... Because, like, Austin gets frozen in 1967, comes out 3 years later in 97, and then the third one, he multiple says... When he talks about the present, he says 2002.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe... And all people enjoy the second one more than the first, so... I had the third one on DVD. But, anyway, the... It's not exactly over, but I just think Fraser's just not a fan of those films. There you go, sorry. Dad. Yeah, sorry, but I think you realize Austin Power Craze is completely over.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do I bore you, or do I make you randy?
And then the phone rings and goes, yes, hello, Nash. I'm driving as smoothly as I can. Another driving will be like this. You know, the driving tools that he gave me, why don't you just come up here and tell me in my face?
Then Martin's like, hey, look, another little red cabin sign. You know, we're not going to find anything better to eat on this highway.
Oh, let's not be hasty, Dad. It's 5 miles away. Might run over something on the way there. Got some in the little red cabin to read the menu, and I was like, you know, I am so tired, I can barely read this menu.
It's all right, Niles. You don't have to read. You can just point to a picture of the food you want.
Well, it's this, a log roll with your choice of cheese. You can't have a log roll without American cheese.
Apparently, you can't have anything in this restaurant without American cheese, including the menu.
It's okay, myself, and we should point out an identical Winnebago just in the background is pulling up right in front of the road here. As another couple gets out of it, and Martin goes, you know, Nads, you're so tired, why don't you go back in the road where I take a nap?
Well, you know, that's a good idea. At least it'll be quiet.
Yeah, and Martin's like, I wonder if you can still get sticky shingles here.
One look at that salad bar says yes. What looks good to you, Frage?
No, I think I'll... I can't even... I've lost my place.
He's like, well, actually, Dad, you know, I think I'll have a hamburger.
And then he gets into the... getting the wrong clue in the wrong way, but he goes like, well, where's your order for me, Dad?
Yeah, you going someplace?
As a matter of fact, I am. I'm going to take a chance. We'll play myself an old friend of mine. America. This is a moment I don't like from this area. It just makes me cringe when I see somebody sits down next to this guy, random farmer guy at the bar. Like, hello there. Can I buy you a cup of coffee? See, I'm just a wandering city mouse trying to get in touch with America. You know, you're like, you might be a farmer.
And then the farmer's like, well, I get it. See a guy in a rural diner wearing shabby clothes and you pin your little label on him. Well, guess what? I am a farmer. But I'm also a beautiful, flawed, complicated human being. It's going to take more than a cup of coffee to get inside here.
I'll just go and see what my father's doing. As he gets up and goes to sit back down with Martin.
Yeah. How was he?
Beautiful, flawed, unpleasant.
No, Martin's like, well, according to the maps, about 300 miles back to Sun Valley.
Oh, delightful. Then, you know, we'll get there in plenty of time for the party.
Now listen, you know, your brother's gonna be hungry. Maybe we should bring him a sandwich.
Oh, I wouldn't worry mad about that. And as I say this, you see the couple going back into that same Winnebago and solo driving away, like, so tired. Let's let him the rest of the trip. You sure?
Are you sure?
Oh, sure. You know, it's exciting day of the year, Dad. For God's sake. You know what, when Alice wakes up, I guarantee you, the last thing he'll be thinking about is sandwiches. That's the thing fooled to him. And then, are we there yet? Comes up again.
We cut to the wrong Winnebago. The old woman Betty and her husband Clifford are driving the Winnebago with Niles as well as sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And Betty's like, oh my goodness, look what I just found in my pocket. The lighter I borrowed from that waitress in the restaurant. I feel terrible.
Forget it, Mother. We're not taking you back. Hey, if you're an elderly couple, don't call the other by Mother or Pa or whatever. Like, that's just weird. But anyway,
Niles wakes up in the sleeping quarters and hears the rest of the conversation. He's alarmed.
I know, given the circumstances he thinks he's in, that's a pretty alarming in the context, which is really, again, pleased with very well idea of context. Goes, well, I really think we should turn around and say we're sorry and return it.
I think we ought to keep it. The old ones knew we had a few anyway.
It doesn't make it right. We're still criminals in the eyes of the law.
There's a lot worse criminals than you and me. You remember that last gun show we went to? We must have seen at least 3 different people swiping boxes of shells.
Well, the only thing you can say about us, we pay for our ammo. Proper fucking middle of the country fucking Americans, that one.
Mm.
But, like, yeah, I do love that was the most alarming, the mere mention of a gun show and the ammo, and then cuts back to their one because he tries to phone them and Brian's like, he's clapping Eddie on his lap. So, this boy, are there going to be any shaggers and birds?
Dad, I'm begging you.
And then his phone goes, and he's annoyed seeing like this Nails phone and thinking he's in the back.
Hello. Niles, would you please stop doing this?
Get back to the room where you're big old and it's like, you know what, I'm getting a little drowsy.
Well, if you're so tired, just scooch over. I'll take the wheel.
Niles is staring at them and like, he's on the, he goes, yes, hello, I'm being kidnapped. Is that emergency? I mean, stolen Winnebago, east of 9984. I can't talk any louder, I'm being, he probably goes, I can't talk any louder, I'm being stolen. Yes, Washington Lights Place, R.D. W-R-E-R, Road Warrior.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Stand it out. Oh, never mind. I forgot to just save me. And he goes over, stands up, and then he goes, you know what? I'm getting sleepy. I'm going to go back for a little lie down.
And then she's like, all right. Oh, wait, Dad. Look, there's another one of those little red cabins. Why don't we just stop and have some supper first?
Because I'm tired and I'm not hungry.
Clifford.
Well, I guess the sandwich wouldn't kill me.
I feel sort of funny stopping here. It's a little like returning to the scene of crime.
Mother, let it go. I say, yeah, the Winnebago leaving the keys. Niles gets in the frizzy and drives off with it. And they're dying. They're back in the right Winnebago on the roadway where they've pulled over. And I love Martin taking Freddy to his visit. Eddie out to his visit. Well, go on, Eddie. Let's go sign nature's guest book.
And then Fraser's phone rings and he answers. He's like, hello?
Fraser?
Yes?
Niles? Put your fears to rest. I've got Dad's Winnebago back.
Miles, what on earth are you talking about? You must have had a nightmare.
Indeed I have, and it's over now. I managed to give the thugs a taste of their own medicine. As Fraser goes back and as soon as he pulls out, he sees Niles in there, he has a big shoulder.
Niles, where are you calling from?
From behind the wheel of the Road Warrior. And doing a damn fine job driving her, my dad.
Well, I'm in the Road Warrior. You got in the wrong car, you idiot. You've stolen a Winnebago.
I do love, again, Fraser's exasperated. You've stolen a Winnebago! Like, and he looks around, he sees all the photos of Betty and covered with the family and everything. He's like, oh, God. You probably have amongst the world's greatest grandma. Like, oh my God!
Alright, Niles, just keep your head. There's no need to panic.
This is the police. Exit the vehicle immediately. Yeah, draws his car, phone goes outside, and I love that Aaron's lined up against the border. As Eddie Reed from Pleasant. Go back to the officer then talking to Free Sheriff Martin like, oh, sorry about the misunderstanding, all these papers check out, so.
Well, if there's anything else, we're in a hurry to get to Sun Valley.
But not too much of a hurry. I'll drive safely.
Thank you.
As soon as he walks away, Martin's
like, what a clown. I can tell you 10 things he did wrong right at the bat.
Well, at least he was apologetic.
All these hick-towns give any bozo a badge.
And as this guy reappears at the window.
And he's like, a goober like that wouldn't last 10 minutes in real police force.
So he's, you know, he's there.
Without getting a promotion.
Your license. Then Frasier drives off and his phone goes, like, hello?
Well, Frasier, I managed to solve the problem. I returned to Winnebago.
Where are you?
Well, I'm in Baker City, Oregon.
Baker City?
Shag me rotten, that's 300 miles.
No, I'll never get there. I'm back to Sun Valley before midnight.
Well, I'm not going to ring in the new year in a little red cabin.
He's a lot more peeved when he said that. He's straight being whispering, like, I'm not ringing in the new year in a little red cabin.
All right, listen. The only way we can ever pull this off is if you can catch a ride in this direction.
And then he overhears, hold on, he overhears the couple talking again. It's like, oh my gosh, it's been great. I'm not going to enjoy the rest of my trip until I return that woman's light.
Mother, do you expect me to turn around and drive 150 miles back to that little red cabin? We're not going. End of discussion.
Clifford.
And then Niles realizes he's like, I'm on my way.
And they don't show how, but like, did he sneak aboard? Did he stow away? Did he ask them to give him a lift?
Maybe he just asked.
Aye. Aye. And they like seem to mention the part where he stole the car in the first place.
Yeah. And then Frasier's like, Niall says he can make it back to the restaurant when we were first separated. All I have to do now is turn this boat around.
30 miles to the next exit.
I can't wait that long.
Well, you can't do a U-turn on an interstate.
That's 20th century talk, Dad. Welcome to the future.
And it just cuts across the grass under the next lane.
He's like, God, that felt great.
But we see the police car immediately follow them, like, this is a really quiet adventure, isn't it, Dad? And then the police sergeant immediately goes on, like,
it is now.
Oh, dear God.
All right, Frasier. Just relax, Frasier. Now I know cops. Just let me do the talking. We'll be out of here in 2 minutes.
All right, let's switch. And then man was in the driver's seat and everything. Like,
and it's the same officer. He's like, well, look who's here. Do you boys know what you did wrong back there?
Yeah, we did a U-turn.
Nope. Called me a goober. I like this. Look at you say that. It was like, nope. Called me a goober. You fucked up.
And it comes in, the thing comes up, it says, Lear, that's the millennium. And it's meant to be past midnight where they are, and outside in a light where a cabin is all is empty, you know. And like, Peter Miles walking, like, Niles, I'm so sorry we're late.
Well, not to worry. When you're here at the crossroads of the world, you have a human drama to amuse you.
Well, happy new year, boys.
Yes, 5 minutes ago. Everyone in the world will have a wonderful story to tell about where they were and what they were doing when the millennium dawned. What is our story? Speeding along a lonely highway. And you're here doing nothing.
Well, not exactly nothing. Big Sandy let me watch the register while you emptied the raft traps.
And then Martin's like, hey, wait a minute, where are we?
Well, I've never seen a picture of the official middle of nowhere, but I assume.
Yeah, but the middle of nowhere, mountain time, right? Still only 11:05 Pacific time.
That's right, if we can get be more than 4 or 5 minutes from here.
Right, we can cross the line and toast in the new year.
Dad, that's brilliant. There's a delightful little restaurant just across the border.
Well, the guidebook said it looked pretentious.
Perfect, let's roll. They're in a Winnebago, they're all there in their tuxedos, even Eddie's in a little tuxedo, like, running out of time.
Well, I'm doing my best, Frasier, but we seem to be losing power.
What's that noise?
What's wrong with the engine?
I didn't touch the emergency, and I was like, I didn't touch the emergency brake.
Yeah, Martin's like, when's the last time you put gas in this thing?
Let me. I don't even know where they put the thing is to put the gas into.
Oh no, I'm sorry, boys, it's dying. I'm gonna be lucky to get this off the road.
I can't stand this. Have we so offended the Millennium God that they will do anything to ruin this evening? Burn down our restaurant, hurl vindictive lawmen and duplicate Winnebagos in our path to confound us.
Hey, is that a sign?
Of course it's a sign. It's a sign we're cursed.
No, it's a sign. We're in Pacific time zone. We're here.
We made it. Come on, Eddie. He's watched 30 seconds to spare. And then...
We're rolling backwards.
Oh, no need to panic. And Miles pulls on the major brake like, aha.
We rolled back into Idaho.
Follow me. As they run out and they crew across the lane and they're 10 seconds and they're trying to get the ambulance. They're like, damn this foil.
You can do it, Frasier. Relax and focus.
Now, 3, 2, 1, and the champagne part's like, hey, we made it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And the people got supported. I was like, well, if you ask me, this beats any dull party.
Yeah.
family, good champagne, a blanket of stars.
And then Fraser's like, you know what? I think Liz calls for a song.
And they all start singing Auld Lang Syne, everything as they don't hear a howl of a coyote. And yeah, as Eddie races back into the winter beginning, they start spinning like, oh, no, oh, no. And they run back into the Winnebago, and like, the credits are Niles inside the back of behind the real Marquette, teaching him through how to drive, and it seems like he's doing well. And then Fraser just pulls up right next to him, showing the thing wasn't even moving at all, and he went away and got the gas for them.
Mm.
Now he needs to be showing the thing to put the gas into. I knew it would be a good one to talk about, but I didn't realize, I forgot just how much fun I would have talking about that.
Yeah, it's a really fun one.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
What would your thumb rating for that episode be? Oh, double thumb?
Double thumbs. I enjoyed that one.
I wasn't sure if I would be a double thumb going into it, but you know what? I'd say double thumb as well.
Double thumb. It's a fun episode.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, considering how I feel about a lot of episodes in season 7, that one at least gives me a lot of joy.
Well, I was looking ahead thinking, oh, is it season 8 where things start to get bad? Not in terms of like episode quality. I looked at it and went, oh, there's some good stuff in here. Like, I looked at a couple of ones I enjoy, like the Jackson Headley episode is in that one.
And plus, we have Ferguson to look forward to.
Yes, the butler.
Yeah.
I believe that season 8 is also the episode we... I think that's the Kirby episode. I think... No, that's season 9. The one, a burger or some such. But no, then I looked ahead like, no, season 9 is when it gets bad.
Yeah.
That's when it gets really bad. But I give a double thumbs up to a hell of an episode.
I do like that episode, I believe was in season 9, where Fraser has that group of little toffee prick kids.
Yeah, that's the one, a burger or some such.
Yeah, that episode, I like that one.
Where Kirby gives them the ammo to fire back at them.
Are you going to be smoking all day? Yes. As he looks at his pack. I like, that was my one of my favourite other characters in the show. I liked that guy, he was very like me.
Mm-hmm.
He had my outlook on life.
Mm-hmm. Well, we now move into the next episode. They're playing our song.
What, right now?
Yes, we are. Oh, I know, no time like the present, is there?
Why are they playing their song?
Because Fraser must write a theme song. We get Kenny for the first time in ages. Don't know when the last time we saw Kenny was.
Well, the last time we saw Kenny was the last time we saw Kenny. That's when we saw Kenny last.
I'm going to punch you.
I know. It's funny, right?
You're an idiot. Anyway, we're in the booth. Again, it opens with Fraser and Roz, like last episode did. And he's like, and we'll be right back after this short news, because he's finishing up the segment on his show. Gil enters like...
And Fraser, he's like, Fraser, I'm here to give you an advance tip.
Really? Roz comes and goes, hey, Gil.
Roz, I'm about to review a divine new Italian trattoria I've discovered called Bella Bella.
Ah.
I'm alerting you now, because once I review it, reservations will be impossible to come by.
Well, thank you, Gil. It's always gratifying to be a few minutes ahead of a trend.
They make an osso buco that's so divine, I call it the veal shank redemption.
So they give him here's a courtesy laugh as Kenny and Tula. Hey, guys.
Hello, Kenny.
Show's done in Greg Fraser. Just one little thing missing, of course.
I know. A new theme song. I'm sorry, I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Well, Mrs. Delafield's been hounding me on this. She always thinks every show used to have its own theme song, you know, hook the listeners. Gil's got his.
My first choice was Food Glorious Food from the show Oliver.
Oh, it's a perfect mesh. Eat cuisine and a course of starving orphans.
But then, a composer friend of mine came up with this little ditty for me. Well, the choosing of wine, or the plus business of dime, it's all a matter of taste. Yes, sir! Just a matter of taste.
Great,
And the nicest thing is, he didn't take a penny for it.
Well, at least he's consistent. Well, at least he has a conscience. Should also just throw in here, who the fuck is Mrs. Delafield?
Oh.
She yet another station owner.
You remember Poppy?
Yes. Oh, her mum.
Her mum, who owns the station.
Sorry, there's like, because station owners and station managers, there's a revolving door before and in some cases with the owners after Kenny. So it's hard to keep up with half the time, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, you
know Kenny.
Yeah, you know Kenny, yeah, I'm sorry for crestening on this one. I tell you, I'll come up with it as soon as I possibly can.
Well, you better come up with something here. I'm sorry to be such a hard ass. It's part of my job I hate the most. I need this thing on my desk Monday-ish.
No, you know, whenever you get a chance. And he's like, you know, Roz, hearing Gil's little ditty puts me in mind of what I should do. Maybe do an original song.
Well, my new boyfriend Leon is in the band. He could write one for you.
Well, that's your thing you're composing myself. I'm nothing without my musical ability, you know.
Could you at least hire Leon to accompany you?
I take it he's desperate for work.
Hasn't had a gig in months. Music is all he knows. He's not good at anything else, except in bed. It's what he does best.
Yes, I'll undertake you figure that out.
10 seconds, Fraser.
Oh, longer than usual. Fraser chuckles to himself as he puts his headphones on. Cut back to his apartment as Fraser, Niles enters the apartment like, Fraser.
Oh, Niles. Oh, dear, we had dinner plans tonight, didn't we?
Yes. Don't tell me you're cancelling.
Well, I have to. I have this little project this evening.
Oh, this one had to do a new theme song, you promised your listeners?
As a matter of fact, it does. I've got to have something by Monday, and I thought I'd take advantage of a nice quiet evening at home.
Oh, here's a very loud vacuum, like, as Daddy enters. He's like, oh, Daddy, definitely please turn on that vacuum. It's like, it's not a vacuum, Claire. It's a Dirt Scouts 2000, a total cleaning system.
Is it new?
Yes, I got it this afternoon. You see the water traps all the dirt particles instead of recycling back. I got all that from Dr. Crane's pillow. And they're like, ugh. And Nails looks at him and looks back at Fraser.
Yeah, I've been begging you to switch to a more abrasive loofah.
Well, it would be the same for anyone. Dead skin, dust, night. You know, we're sleeping on something, we just don't know it.
We do now, jeez.
And he walks over to get you and like, this is a chance I've been waiting for. Maybe she should have emptied it first because it was already quite full of water, but she goes towards his chair, starts cleaning it, and this thing starts bubbling very aggressively. Until it starts psss and starts getting anything like, well.
Apparently the Dirt Scourge 2000s are not much for the Dirt Pile 1957.
Well, this is going back on the commercial, so they clean the mud off the hippopotamus.
Well, at least now I can get down to work. You know, Niles, I'm sorry again about dinner, but can I buy you a sherry?
Oh, thank you. But the theme song you're spinning, you just use a standard.
Actually, I want to compose one myself. I always had an affinity for music. I've often wondered what I might achieve if I just rolled up my sleeves and gave it a try.
Martin Reanders, didn't you write some kind of musical back in prep school?
Yes, I did, Dad. Niles was in it. You know, the whole school came out humming my opening anthem.
They went in humming it. It was Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, note for note.
It was not.
It absolutely was.
It was not at all.
And then to the student who voted, it was, we are valiant men of
honor. All right, all right. Well, I suppose I may have borrowed a note or two as a launching pad.
Prancing, leaping.
All right, point taken.
Over the hill.
Stop it!
I'm just teasing. Actually, it was a wonderful show. I was proud to be acting in it.
You know, Niles, you were wonderful in it as well.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. I thought so. Everyone thought if I'd kept that, I could have been a professional actor.
Ah, you see, we all have a road not taken, some unfinished business worth exploring.
And my face up goes, yeah, I always had a dream of being a toe dancer, but Bullet ended my dream. They all look at him like, oh, what a sarcastic little shit. Like, I was like, well, Fraser, if you need any help with this, I'm right here.
Thank you, Niles. No, I'd rather handle the composing chores myself, but I could use a sounding board.
Fair enough. Let's put our heads together.
All right.
Figure who's speaking, of course. I've seen him come out of your pillow. They head towards the piano. Fades out. It says, a bridge too far. It comes back in there. Nails at the piano. Fraser's standing behind him. Like, you know, I think this new bridge is the best thing you've written.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, claustrophobia, nymphomania. He'll probe you. He'll explain it to you. It's brilliant.
You know, it does have this cold, portery, Stephen Sondheim-y flavor, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Sondheim would have killed to have written this.
You know what? I'm a little nervous. It just may be a bit too conventional. Perhaps instead of a regular bridge, I could substitute it with a dramatic monologue spoken against a musical background.
I like it.
Of course, I'd have to hire an actor.
I suppose you could squander a lot of money on some so-called professional. Someone who doesn't know a whole lot about psychiatry. Who wouldn't understand the whole
Gestalt.
Or in fact, or maybe you could do it. I think so.
I will write you a speech that will challenge your entire histrionic range. This is so exciting. Let's play the chorus again.
And then he goes out, and Martin comes and goes, hey, Fred, got an idea for your little jingle. Came on while I was brushing my teeth. What's new? I'm listening. Feeling blue. I'm listening. Because you know, that's what you say in your show. Feeling sad, feeling mad, feeling glad, feeling bad, I'm listening. That's me sat at the table and clap like, bravo, that was wonderful.
Thanks, you know, it's catchy. That's what counts in the jingle.
Puts in here, says, no adventures here. John Mahoney appeared in a Tears episode, Do Not Forsake Me, O Postman, as Sly Finback, a hapless jingle composer. He did, he was there trying, I think he was trying to write a jingle for Tears. He had most of his scenes were with Kirstie Alley's character.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure he does have a brief back and forth with Kelsey Grammer, and we might look it up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
There's a potential thing for an eclectic escapade, that episode.
I think so. That'd be a good one.
Do you know Perry Gilpin is also in an episode of Tears as a random reporter? I think she's only in one scene. She's stuck to Witty. And then Woody, I think, tells her more than he was meant to, but she takes the vows. That kid's an idiot. But anyway, yeah. Maybe we could merge the two episodes together.
We could.
All that talk. Oh, yes, sorry. And Fraser's, politely, it says here also he doesn't like the idea, but he's a bit too small for him. He's trying to let his dad down gently here. He says, oh, well, that's very nice, Dad. It's just, you know, I did promise some listeners I composed it myself. It's not fair cheating.
Oh, well, it's not cheating, technically. Well,
very good, very good. Thank you. Off you go now.
Okay, all right.
And I was like, Fraser, are you sure you want to modulate here? That just may complicate things.
Perhaps. You know, I'm just trying to make it interesting to my ear. There's still something lacking. Some tiny ingredient was missing. I'm not sure what.
There's also to this hall with a full-on orchestra standing on the conductor's podium, like, and the statues of the daughter. All right, everyone, let's try this again. We'll have a few minutes before the choir gets here. Gets out and feeds back into the rehearsal with Niall singing at the front. Niall singing at the front as the actor, and Fraser goes like, ah, it's the choir, and she's like, oh, well, the choir decided to join us.
Sorry, our bus broke down. We had to walk 2 miles to get here.
Oh, suppose we can dispense with the breathing exercise I was going to recommend. Please, if you don't mind. Off you go.
Fraser?
His attitude here is very similar to whenever he got control of that play in the episode, isn't it?
But Niall's is like, Fraser, did you mean you got paragraph 5 of my monologue?
Gosh, now is that... Wish I might have, Niall. I've been so busy. What was the gist?
A light-hearted lampoon of mental health care abuse.
Ah, yes, I did. I was afraid some fussbudget might take offence at my jape about lobotomies.
Well, I suppose it's best to play it safe, although I did like the way you indicated my expression with a slide whistle.
They both laughed. Niall looked back at the orchestra like...
Do we really have to use so many musicians?
For the sound I want, yes.
Whatever happened to the concept of less is more?
Ah, yes. But if less is more, think how much more will be. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if I may have your attention, please, I'd like to take a few minutes to explain to you my artistic vision in the Timpanist.
Like, take as long as you want. We're all on the clock.
What? You must move right along. As far as the interest, like, Fraser, I'm sorry, we're late. We got stuck in traffic. Some stupid bus broke down.
Ah, hello, Leon.
Hello, Dr. Craig. He's got a guitar here. He goes,
lovely to meet you. Listen, why don't you help yourself to the refreshments over there? I have to speak. Have a few words with Roz. Mm-hmm.
He goes, Roz, we got a problem. And scoring has had to limit the guitar part.
Put it back.
I can't. I'm afraid another instrument might make things a little cluttered. I'll score. Leon can play the bagpipe.
The bagpipe?
Yes, of course. Our show deals a whole range of human emotions from euphoria to despair. Nothing says despair so quickly as the skirl of a bagpipe.
Nothing says turn off the radio so quickly either. Isn't there something else he can play?
Well, yes, actually. Our triangle player just comes in with a touch of tinnitus. Here we are. Leon, so good to meet you. I had to eliminate the guitar part, but I prefer you to first triangle.
And he's like, I've never played one of these. It looks tricky.
He just stares at Roz. He's like, I'll work with it. It's like fucking replacing Bulldog's dyslexic bird with bloody Leon in this one, isn't it? Usually, this is quite interesting. Apart from me, like, should I be annoyed at the way they're slagging the bagpipe? And I'm like, no, I hate listening to bagpipes as well.
I'll be perfectly honest. Out of Roz's boyfriends, Leon was my favourite.
Really?
Yeah, he seemed nice.
All right.
I mean, come on, that was adorable. I've never played one of these. It looks tricky.
He goes, well, now, people of horrors, are there any questions? The woman behind us goes, yes, Viola.
My name is Tiffany.
No, I'm calling you by your instrument name so not to avoid confusion.
Oh, well, I have a question about measure 34.
Ah, I thought you might. Yes, I've accelerated the tempo here in order to depict the yearning of the superego. Very perceptive of you to spot that.
No, I meant at least 8 notes or what?
Yes, 8 notes. Anyone else, the timpanist reads down and goes, yes, timpani.
You just answered my question.
Not Tiffany, timpani.
What are we rehearsing this for? Are we going to record this?
Yes, actually, we're waiting for the final go-ahead from my station manager, and then we'll be recording it, yes. Anyone else?
Niles raises his hand.
Yes, actor.
And then he's like, huh. And then he's like, I'm just wondering how my monologue is going to be audible over all these instruments.
It's a good point, Nath. You may be seated. It's imperative, everyone. Everyone play pianissimo during the spoken word portions. Very softly. I particularly apply to the brass and timpani.
Why me?
To the drums, Tiffany. And then Martin and Daphne enter like, oh, Dad, Daphne, I'm glad you came.
Oh, well, after all, the world premiere is theme song.
Now, I don't want to search you for any hidden recording devices. Last thing I need is some bootleg CDs flying in the marketplace.
Boy, you really got something here.
No time for sitting, Dad. I've got everything from African racist to Japanese tam-tams.
Are the tam-tams the long ones with the cream in the middle?
And then Kenny goes, oh, Kenny, hey, I'm not glad you made it. Listen, I think you're going to be in for quite a bit of surprise.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't surprise easy. Then he sees you, and he's like, whoa.
Our little ensemble.
All working. On a weekend.
Now, listen, I know I realize I went a bit over it, but I promise I will pick up the difference. All right, the time has come to unveil my magnum opus. Let me do a little fine-tuning to the opening fanfare. He moves to the podium. Now, Bess, will you please, the first in four, the first measure. And they're like, oh, yes, you see, that's fine. Fine as far as it goes, but this time I want you to do a bit more grandeur, more majesty, and a soupon of awe. They do it again, exactly this, and they say exactly the same as before. It's like, read your turns again, and everyone's like, I see, that's what good conducting can do. Now, everyone, the time you're all waiting for is at hand. With a simple bow, by Muse Kofi, let us begin. So they're ready to go into the song, and you notice when it has the soloist, the three people from the choir, they actually have the individual bits. They put next to them the first one, tenor, soprano, bass for each of them, because of the different volumes. The drum bag goes, four of them look at each other credulously, not knowing what to expect. Maestro raises the baton when we hear his magnum opus. He knocks the perfect measure again. Trumpets plays a fanfare, followed by the strings who settle into eventual Broadway style vamp that does not seem to fit the preceding fanfare. After the heart, the sound of the first chorus, then presented by three songs and a choir. Who can you turn to for prompt diagnosis? This dish of fantasy, so psychosis. No problem at all, we can handle your call. And they're all used to go, on our show. The drum beat starts going in a copy to on our show, Martin. Martin changes the glance with Daphne and Ross. Bring us your traumas, your late neurosis. Love how high this guy goes with an R, rolling the R, going, erectile dysfunction. Betwitting narcosis. Oh, need for shame, you can use a false name on a show, on a show. Radio seems delighted with yourself so far as the orchestra starts settling down suspensefully. Of course, actually, the Broadway Disney style fare. So it's suspenseful in the background so that Niles can get up and. And while like, it's extremely incredulous.
Yes, and he's like, who dares enter the dark labyrinth of the human mind? The
Russian player draws a string of metal object, producing an unpleasant whining sound. Roger changes harmonies to higher chord. Rachel marks the time of dramatic baton gesture to prepare for the cue of the harmonic changes.
What festering secrets are buried in the recesses of the subconscious?
Another percussion drag.
Lurid images.
I'm doing the bits in between.
Oh, you're doing those bits.
I need to do the petition. Go back to the festering secrets of the burning
subconscious. Okay, what festering secrets are buried in the recesses of the subconscious?
You could do it with less tone.
What about tone?
That was tone.
Shut up.
Another percussion drags something across the gong and produces
lurid images.
Harmonic shift upward and with Niles' words, which are followed by a shaking of a drum rattling whistle.
Lewd desires.
There's another chord shift of Niles, followed by a sliding whistle. Which is illustrated lewd desires.
Guilty pleasures.
First shift for the grunting sound of the orchestra.
Strange compulsions.
Another harmonic shift followed by a distant sound of a trombone which startles Niles before he turns back leading to a sensible high note.
The whole catalogue of human behaviour from the aberrant to the monstrous lurks behind the locked door to which one man holds the key.
Also, I'm going to have to leave some bits in there because you argued with me. A huge beat going in the tam-tam startles the others, particularly Martin with the heart listened and it leads us back as Niles sits back down, grieving broodly. Like, so, if you're starting me to find prognosis, that's yourself, it's like Freud. And then the guy does start saying something in German. This radio smells to himself the German line. Stop scratching your head, let us cure you instead. On our show, on our show. And then it says here, on our show is different. The chorus line said, is directly lifted from Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious from Mary Poppins. So again, Fraser lifting from somewhere else. And he goes, now here's the man to explain the tortured terrain of your brain. The man who feels everyone's pain. Dr. Crane, Dr. Crane, Dr. Crane. And that ends it there. Choir finally harmonizes and laughs. Crane Leon Then Leon pauses and Leon hits his triangle. Richard Lewis spit on, seemingly proud of his magnum opus. As Ross is rising, going, yay, way to go, Leon! Well, not here, this can be heard on the Frasier soundtrack. Because one of the first times I came up to Paul's house, he played the Frasier soundtrack. That's how I'd heard about this song, because I'd never actually seen the episode before that point.
Yeah, I have that somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kenny, what's your reaction?
And Kenny is just stunned, Sally's mouth just agape. Wow. It's your breath away, doesn't it?
Wow.
I thought as much. In anticipation of your approval, I had the forethought to order a little bubbly. Now, if you would please, as they rush out the room. You are wonderful. Thank you. The trombone frightened me.
Then again, Kenny's like, wow.
Like it's the like Martin and Rose and everybody talking like, well, probably then. Well, it was certainly was something.
I'll say, it's sort of like Gilbert and Sullivan, only frightening.
And Kenny's like, a little jingle, a little 10-second jingle. That's all I asked for.
Well, maybe Frasier can cut it down. He gives me harps and drums and people speaking German. All we wanted was a simple little jingle.
Then Don goes, maybe kind of like that one you came up with, Dr. Crane.
Like, oh, no, it was nothing. I can't even remember how it goes.
I'm sure you can. Remember, like, how are you? I'm listening.
No, it doesn't go like that. Will you sing it, Dr. Crane?
And, no, it's just a little thing. What's new? I'm listening.
Feeling blue. I'm listening.
Feeling glad I'm listening. And then Kenny ends up also loves it.
He's like, that's exactly the kind of thing we're looking for.
Also, by the way, I was looking at it while also copying the German quote into Google Translate. Apparently it's a German for Jesus, what's going on, according to Google Translate.
Oh, well.
I was hoping the transcript would say something about it on here, but apparently it does not. Yeah, that's exactly what we're looking for. You know, it sets the mood, says it all. Did you just pop into your head?
Frasier comes in and he's like, hardly. It was gut-wrenching, but you know, it's nice to know I made it look easy.
He hands glass down and he goes, no, I'm talking about your dad's little jingle.
Dad's?
Yeah, you know, he's saying, you know, exactly the kind of thing we're looking for. You know, simple, catchy, you know, you gotta use that one.
No, Kenny, no. I mean, if it's simple you wanted, you just said so.
I thought I did.
Oh, obviously not. Now that I know what you want, well, there's nothing easier. Of course I can write simple. Promise you'll be something far more memorable than my dad came up with.
Well, no, I remembered. What's new? I'm listening in the choir, joins in, feeling boo. And they do this, feeling mad, feeling sad, feeling glad, I'm listening.
And then he's like, you're off the clock.
He exits in a huff, which is it's the best description of it. He's just like, you have 30 stories up, I'm like, I don't want to play anymore. Dad and his stupid jingle. Guns in, of the like, screen goes, what is why the Gershwin's teeth were immaculate. If you're just on the piano trying to finger something, ends up as it breaking up the last lines of row, row, row your boat. And Martin enters his bed with, hey, Fridge, how's it going?
He's like, merrily, merrily. And Martin's like, well, you know, it's getting kind of late. Maybe you should call it a night, huh?
Dad, didn't you hear, Kenny? I have to come up with something simple. By Monday. By the way, thanks again once again for upstaging me today.
Oh, come on. I'm sorry I stole your thunder, but it's not like I did it on purpose.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time with this.
Maybe you're just thinking too much. I mean, look at me. I go to the bathroom, I floss my teeth, and that song pops in my head.
Are you suggesting that I bring out a spool of floss?
Well, it might not be a bad idea. For a couple of reasons.
They both sit at the table.
And then Martin's like, Frasier, why don't you just decide what you want to say and say it? Not a lot of big words and showing off. No, and the tune should be something simple. Something you can whistle. I tried whistling that thing you wrote today, and I got lightheaded. Of course, it might have been that last donut I went back for when it was African rain sticks. Ah.
Truth is that I'm not sure I can do simple.
I don't know if you can or you just don't want to, you know. And you know, some of the best things in the world are simple. Frasier, just like that art gallery you took me to a couple of months ago. Do you remember? You were oohing and aahing at those paintings of a big red dot.
Yes, that's well, the difference between simple and deceptively simple.
All I'm saying is it's fine to be smart, but you shouldn't have to be proving it all the time. That's all, you know. Just an experiment. Tell me what you're trying to say. Strip down the nuts and bolts.
All right, well, my first dance, I'm going to represent myself as the Ombudsman of between conscious and the subconscious mind of my listeners.
Oh, well, there you are. That's a song right there. All we need to do is rhyme Ombudsman and we can go to bed.
Well, I have been playing around with North Woodsman.
And then he's like, oh, sure, look, I'm going to tell you what your show is about. People have a problem, we're feeling low, they call you, you make them feel better.
For God's sake,
Well, that's it. That's it. Why didn't you just write that?
I'll be saying to you, if you've got a problem, if you're feeling low, looking for some answers, oh gosh, now I'm stuck. How will I ever find something to rhyme with low?
Okay, smart aleck, I was just trying to help.
Well, thanks, Dan. I'm sorry. You know, it's just not my thing.
Okay, well, I'm going to bed, so if you need help tomorrow, all you gotta do is ask.
Thanks, Dad. Marinates his and Frida goes back up to his thing, he starts plucking the melody to the thing he was singing, like, if you've got a problem, if you're feeling low, looking for some answers.
And then, completing the verse and ranging from off stage, Martin's, things you need to know.
He looks madly indignant, it cuts to playing a catchy version of it. To Rising King going, if you got a problem, if you're feeling low, looking for some answers, things you need to know, all you gotta do is ask, all you gotta do is ask.
And then with Leon's triangle going, ting.
He just seems proud, and the other kind of bounce in the head along to him. The credits is Fraser. Turn to stereo, playing anything with Tom doing conducting, and Eddie Anderson, so Marjorie begins singing, or barking basically, and Frasier starts basically conducting Eddie and to tune with the beat as we round out the show.
That was a good one.
That was good. Not as good as the last
one. That was a good one.
A solid thumbs up worthy episode, I thought. It all really builds up to the thing you really want to see is when he actually does the song and presents it to everybody.
It all builds up to Leon going, ding.
Oh, yes, but the other thing that builds up to is the song itself, which ends with Leon's ding.
Ends with Leon's ding.
Oh.
Filthy.
Yeah. The only person who cares about his ding, and that's Ross. Yeah.
So, I wonder if he makes Roz ting.
I said ding, not ting.
Ding.
Almanac.
Almanac.
But yeah, a solid episode, I thought. Again, very similar in vein to Hamido, but again, comparing this to Hamido isn't fair, because Hamido is just by far one of the best episodes
of the year. That is in the top five of episodes of original season.
Mm-hmm.
But I would definitely give this up. I wouldn't give this one like I gave the last one a double thumbs up.
Yeah.
Because the last one was really solid, and that's great for season 7 especially.
Uh-huh.
But I would definitely give this episode a solid thumbs up.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed, like always enjoy seeing Gil.
Yeah.
You know, Gil, it's great seeing Gil, and I liked him singing his little ditty. You know. My favourite episodes with Gil is maybe that one,
mm-hmm.
the one with him and Noel doing karaoke.
Yeah.
And the one with his little, you know, his like, his little assistant, you know, we'll be right back.
Or like one of my favourite ones is the one we did a couple of episodes ago, the Christmas one. It's my last one from there, I promise. Oh, Gil, who are you kidding?
No one, Gil.
I mean, the best bit is when Frasier's talking about Gil and that character gives us, like, they broke into a rendition, a duet of anything you can do, I can do better.
Sadly,
they were both wrong. When he started a Gil singing, I feel pretty. Or sitting on the lap of a Japanese businessman.
But no, one definite thing you could take away from this episode as well, and this is a theme of a lot of Frasier episodes over the original seasons, is that heart-to-heart between Martin and Niles, where Frasier's struggling with the song. He's like, look, you don't need to be so grandiose every time. Just simplify what you're going to say and just make it what you want to say, you know what I mean?
I made comparison to Hamir, but I think, again, it's the idea for you to get some sort of control, and he has to just take it over. He has to do like too much.
He's always striving to do too much.
He's too much about perfectionist, and that again, because especially when it's something artistic involved, when it's, you know, the idea of his vision and for things, everything. He's been told to do this thing. He went, fine, if I have to do this, I want to do it my way, and then
it has to be grand.
Yes, it has to be grand. There, even it tells you something when even Niles is telling him it's a bit too much. You know. Yeah,
Thank you. Trombone frightened me.
I do like his other thing, the different instruments, and then does the trombone. And you kind of look back and be like, trombone frightened me. Hold on. Take care. That'll do, short.
You dick. Road warrior.
Pick a lane, road warrior.
You had dick.
See, that guy gets it.
Dog.
I never done it. Yeah.
How dare you? How dare you accuse me of drinking in the nittins? Me, your oldest pal and matey, old skip.
Oh, the one for the road, for the one. Me,
drinking in the nittins? Oh, I'll tear you them from them. Have you had that, haven't you? Yeah. Well, you listen up, young man, and you listen up good, because you're grounded. Yeah, I know. Oh, Eddie, how could you do this on a holiday day?
I am in the pew with the holiday monkey.
Oh, no. He means run, a run, holiday run. Monkey. He means a holiday money. Shit, shit.
Run, run, run.
Why did we break into an impromptu rendition of Bottom?
Because
we just did. Reasons.
Yeah. That'll do a shorter episode of Frasier Day, just the two episodes we're back. Hopefully in a couple of weeks. I think we're going to be doing a couple more wrestling related episodes soon. Hopefully bring you some in Eclectic Escapades, since we got an idea there. Maybe we'll come up with some more. Yes. Come up with a couple more Eclectic Escapades, because we've mainly been focusing on Frasier, Cutsy Grammar and David I. Pierce for our Eclectic Escapades.
And we really do look forward to, when we eventually get round to setting the schedule for it, we do look forward to bringing you a proper review of the new Frasier too.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to do it as part of this year. I think we agreed on it. I think we said we would do it whether the show was good or not, but I don't know.
Yeah, but I think we can both concretely say we both really enjoyed it, I would assume.
Yeah, so we need to decide off if we want to do a separate thing, just focus on it. I mean, we did do a decent little job, I think, at the start. We had a very succinct way of kind of wrapping up the key points of our thoughts of the season there, we'll talk about. But there's some Eclectic Escapades ideas there. But in fact, an Eclectic Escapade, there being the perfect host episode, was actually our most listened to episode of 2023.
Was it indeed?
It did.
Wow.
Yeah, the exact numbers or anything, but apparently it was. So I thank you guys for that. And I'm sure it makes Paul feel happy, because, you know, it was a long time in the making. Us not only watching the movie, but us talking about the movie on a podcast
form. I was so animated during that recording. I was so hyped for that one.
Again, for a few things, I don't know. Maybe when TNA is good, or when there's one or two other things, I can't remember well, when other times I've seen you as animated and as enthused for a thing to talk about on the show.
Yeah, that was such a good movie, you know? It was, like I say, it was such a trip to see David Hyde Pierce, who I've always, in my eyes, you know, when you see an actor, and the actor basically embodied this, in your mind, this is the role, it is their role. So he's always been Niles, and seeing that scene in The Goddamn Perfect Host, when he hooked the guy in the jaw, first time I ever seen that, I was like, Niles doesn't hurt people. And then I was like, no, it's not Niles, it's Warwick.
Yes.
It's not Niles, it's Warwick.
It's not an aggressive...
He writes postcards to himself.
It's not an aggressive infidel, it's just a cheeky slipped up, isn't it?
Creepy fucker, man.
Yes, it is. You want to check out that episode, if you haven't seen it already, go check it out in our back catalogue, along with our other Eclectic Escapades that we've done.
We've done a few. We've
done a few, yes. We've done Kelsey Grammer and David Pierce in The Simpsons. We've done David Pierce as a stick insect. In Bugsley, we've done Kelsey Grammer as Scrooge and a Muppet, and a Christmas Carol. And we did almost said Muppet, yeah. And we also did Kelsey Grammer as the Prospector in Toy Story 2.
Guess who?
Maris. We're going to do some other ones in the future. Like, we've really enjoyed this concept, you know.
Frasier is a program on CBS.
NBC.
Oh, NBC. Yeah. Frasier is a program on NBC.
Yeah. But let us know if you'd actually like to see us do any other particular episodes or things, projects they've been involved in as part of Eclectic Escapades. Let us know what you think of the new season of Frasier. Are you a fan of it? What did you think of these particular episodes that we covered? Do you agree with the double thumbs up rating for World Warrior?
Mr. Terwilliger, we was playing with our old smell house, Gage. He's gone to heaven, Mr. Terwilliger. Oh, Cousin Merle, really?
Careful, you know, Cousin Merle ain't been quite right, really. Cover all, so don't quite cover all.
Yeah. See, we have fun with our eclectic escapades.
We do.
Would have fun listening. You'd have a good time.
Yeah. We'll go check that out. But until next time, make sure to follow us on Twitter at SBRL and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/RealmPodcast. Follow me at ComicLine1986 if you feel so inclined. We also do a show called The Roadward Smackdown Review over on Rogue Pains.
That's very good too.
Yeah, we won't be doing as much of our show as part of that on their feed, but because then they've been changing up. But you can always catch us here wherever you get your file. You can always catch Rogue Retro Smackdown Review wherever you get your podcast. You know, and until next time, he has been Paul, I have been Scott.
And he has been Scott, and I have been Paul.
And that has been our, not quite yet magnum opus, but one of these days. But that has been our Frasier. Good day and good mental health.
And adieu.
The time we've been waiting for is at hand. And with a simple bow of thanks to the muse Calliope, let us begin. And
can you turn to for prompt diagnosis?
A fetish or fantasy?
Sex or psychosis?
No problem at all, let us handle your call.
On our show.
Bring us your traumas, your latent neurosis.
Erectile dysfunction.
Bedwetting narcosis.
There's no need for shame, you can use a false name.
On our show.
Who dares enter the dark labyrinth of the human mind? What festering secrets are buried in the recesses of the subconscious? Lurid images, lewd desires, guilty pleasures, strange compulsions. The whole catalogue of human behavior, from the aberrant to the monstrous, lurks behind a locked door to which one man holds the key.
So if you are stymied to find a prognosis,
and ask yourself, just like Freud,
Himmelwasthosis,
stop scratching your head, let us cure it instead.